Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. It has been a day of rejoicing. It has been a day of delight to just know that you can get up early in the morning and spend time with the Lord in prayer, in listening for his still small voice, just to know that we can sit and wait upon the Lord. And that's what this teaching series is about today, when you're in the waiting room. I thank God for you being a part of this ministry, Mission from the Heart Radio, coming, meeting with us week after week after week, listening to the broadcast, familiarizing yourself with Scripture, and growing with us in this ministry as we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, extend the gospel of Jesus, bound on his word, that his word will continue to wash over us, that we will grow and go in grace. This is what this ministry is about, that we continue to allow the very word of God to get in us, be rooted, planted in fertile ground, that we will grow like beautiful branches and bear good fruit from a tree planted by the river, that we will drink of the living water, that it would flow out of us, that others will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this is what we are about today. The ministry Mission from the Heart is about growth, proclaiming, receiving the word of God in all his riches and beauty. So we are in part two of this teaching series, When You're in the Waiting Room. And before we start, I have a special friend in studio with me today. She's no stranger to Mission from the Heart Radio. She's been on the broadcast in the past. You may know her, but my sister and dear friend in Christ, she's the sister that I didn't have growing up in a family of three brothers and me being the only girl. But I thank God for our relationship and our friendship and our sisterhood that he has woven us together from heart to heart. So I have her in studio today, and she is going to sit with me at table as we continue this series, When You're in the Waiting Room. But I want our sister Shirley Harris to pray a prayer before we open and get started with the broadcast. So, Shirley, if you would do us a beautiful blessing, praying a sweet blessing to the Lord in prayer, sister. So if you would go right ahead and do that.
Dear Heavenly Father, first of all, Father God, we thank you for waking us up this morning, Father God, for being our right minds, oh God. Father God, we want to lift your name on high, Father God, knowing that you are the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-omnipotent, Father God. We thank you for putting breath in us to be able to wake up, walk around, and just be able to rejoice around you, Father. We thank you for all those that's listening on the radio, Father God, right now, Father God, that whatever you're about to teach, oh God, that it be used for your glory, oh God, that you use us in a mighty way, oh God, to bring this message about on today, Father God, that we will all have understanding, starting with me, Father God, what your will is in the waiting, Father God, and what your desire for us to do, Father God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, sister, for that beautiful prayer. And I hope you really heard Sister Shirley prayed that wonderful prayer to the Lord, as she said, what she can learn while we are in the waiting. And that's the prayer to the Lord for all of us, is to pray to him and ask him, Lord, what do you want me to learn while I'm in the waiting, while I sit and meditate on your word, while I sit and listen for your small, still voice? And this is what she offered up to the Lord as a prayer offering for us all, as well as herself. So thank you, Sister Shirley, for doing that. And we're going to continue to open up our Bible and let's look at what God's word speaks to us about. Now, I want to go back to our first part of this message, when you're in the waiting room. And on last week, we looked at the first point. And I like to bring messages with specific points at hand, something that we can relish in, something we can memorize, something that we can easily retain concerning sweet nuggets or a focal point in a message. I really love doing that. And so the first point that I brought out in the message of when you're in the waiting room was attitude. And for you to hear that particular teaching series, I encourage you to go back and listen to it so that you can get the full impact or the full message of point one, attitude. And I just want to give a little thumbnail sketch. And we talked about what it meant concerning time, timing, tarry. And that's T-A-R-R-Y, tarry, while we're tarrying, if you will, or while we're taking time or waiting on time or timing. And time was the entry point, entering into. And timing was the length of time, the length of time. And tarry was when we are waiting and tarrying with the Lord, or in a situation or position or place or space, just another form of waiting. And I spoke about room, kind of brought that out to the light, a room, a place or a space or an area designed, allocated, reserved for us to wait, allocated for us to wait. Now, it's a place. It could be in a line or a group by categories. It could be a place where we feel as though we're in the valley. It can be a place when we are on the mountain high, and some people say it or state it that way. We're standing on top of the mountain. And a place or a room can really be anywhere. And so as we bring out these points, while you are waiting in the waiting room of life, our focus scripture is Isaiah chapter 40. And last I read it in its entirety, verses 1 through 31, but the focus scripture is Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 31. And let's read that again. If you will, get your Bibles, move over to our launch pad or our main scripture, and we're going to chapter 40 in Isaiah, and we're going to read verse 31. And it reads this way. Now I'm going to read it in the King James translation. And starting in 31, once I get my Bible there, it reads, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Now just let that resonate over your mind and in your heart. But those who wait on the Lord, now that's the important piece, those who wait on the Lord. And what will happen when we do that? We shall be renewed in our strength. We shall mount up with wings like eagles. And the expansion of the wings of eagles are broad and wide, some up to 7 or 8 feet in expansion from tip to tip, that long or wide in length. Mount up with eagles. Mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So this is our launch pad, and this is what the Lord wants us to understand, that when you wait on Him, the Lord, you shall be renewed, even in the midst of your waiting. And everybody's waiting is different. But the purpose of waiting is that we will be renewed, we will be revived, we will be in the right attitude, and we will have the right mindset. And I brought those points out. Let me go back over what the 3 points of this teaching series is when you're in the waiting room. Point one, for those who want to take notes, is attitude, which underscore mindset, your attitude, what is your mindset? And point two, today's teaching is on discipline, display, or doing. All draws the attention to deeds. What are your deeds while you're in the waiting room? Point one was, what are or were your attitude? What was your attitude, your mindset while you were in the waiting room? So now we're on point two. And so for the benefit of knowing, point three will be speaking life. So these are the 3 points in this teaching series: attitude, discipline, speaking life. So let's focus on point two. Some people like to put it this way. When you're in the waiting room, what are your thoughts? What are your deeds? And what are your words? Thoughts, deeds, and words. And that covers the whole person. In my thinking, while I'm waiting for a time and change from God. In my thinking and my attitude, my mindset on my circumstance, is it focused on what I don't have, what I need, what I'm in lack of, or what I may be experiencing at that time? Is my thoughts focused on rush, rush, need it now? Is my thoughts focused on my stresses or my worries? And worry is a sin. When we are labeled a worry wart, constantly worrying about the outcome of things. Is my thoughts or attitude going before God? And I'm sure our life in the past shows examples of that, where we can mentally get ahead of God in our thoughts. May not have done anything, may not have said anything to anybody, but the mind can take us in places that we should not be going. In anxiousness, overly anxious, in thoughts. And when your thoughts are moving and racing before God or out of the will of God, then it will trigger the rest of the body in your deeds and in your speech, meaning your words. So when we're in the waiting room as believers in Christ Jesus, we have to keep our minds stayed on Him. Now that's in thought, but I want to focus on our deeds. But to solidify keeping our minds stayed on Thee, let's look at Psalms 112.
So if you would move over in your Bible to Psalms 112, and I'm going to read starting at verse 7. Now, of course, the whole psalm is an amazing word of God to keep us stayed on Him. Starting at verse 7, it reads this way. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemy. So what does that let us know? That we don't have to fret. We don't have to be afraid of what may or may not happen. We can stand steadfast, sure-footed on the Lord. I'm going to reread these verses in a different translation, something I always like to do. If you've studied up under me, I like to read in different translations to deepen my understanding of what the Lord wants me to know. So I'm going to read the same Psalm 112, verses 7 and 8, but I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. They are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. We do not have to fear bad news. Now it's coming around the corner, or you may have already heard the bad news, or you've just gotten out of a storm or a whirlwind of bad news. Now, again, it's the waiting. Not all waiting rooms are bad news, but it's the part that when we're waiting and we don't know what the outcome is, and mentally the mind has tendencies to fall out of fellowship in thought with God. And the enemy comes in to try to cause us to doubt in fear. cause us to rethink what we know God said and promised. But according to Psalms 112, it confidently tells us that we do not fear the circumstance. In the New Living Translation, bad news. We confidently trust the Lord in spite of, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like in the waiting room, confidently trust him because he said he will care for us. He said in his word he will never leave us nor forsake us. He won't abandon us. He hasn't abandoned us. Even in times of silence, he's still with us. Verse 8, they are confident and fearless. That means we have victory over our foe, over our giant, while we are in our waiting room experience. No weapons formed against us shall prosper. Every demonic force that the battle is with, because scripture tells us we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities of darkness, that they are a defeated foe. They have no victory over the children of God. We triumphant over our demonic forces. It's promised to us because God is our battle axe. Mentally speaking, we have the confidence. Fearless, we put on the full armor of God according to scripture. And we know that scripture concerning the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Be strong in who? The Lord. And in his what? Mighty power. Be strong. God, Moses told Joshua to be strong. Take courage. Because I am going to use you, Joshua, for such a time as this. This is what is for us. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. Why? So that you can take your stand against whom? The devil's schemes. Amen. This is the confidence, according to Psalms 112, according to God's promise from generation to revelation, from Genesis to Revelation. This is the promise that God has already fought our battle while we're in the waiting room. Let's move along in our scripture. According to Isaiah 26, verse 3. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Listen to what it says. You will keep him in peace, whose mind is stayed on you. And in this translation, the New King James translation, you is capitalized, Y-O-U, capital. So that means I am to keep in perfect peace when my mind is stayed on him, Christ, because I trust in him. You will keep him in whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Amen. Verse 4, in Isaiah 26, trust in the Lord forever. For in Yahweh, the Lord, is everlasting strength. Amen. When we are in a waiting room experience, whether you are incarcerated, whether you are in a foul, toxic relationship, marriage, whether you are in a situation on the job that is so unpleasing to your soul that you cannot wait until you can get out of that job. Remember what I said about time, timing, and tarry? Length of time, God's perfect timing. We read Isaiah 40, verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord, he will give us renewed strength. We will walk, we will run, somehow or another, God helps us to maintain strength, to not faint or get weary. He renews us day by day while we're in the waiting room experience. Now, this is just what I want us to grasp as we understand God speaking to us while we're in the waiting room. I know the experience is not fun. I know we don't like it. I know when we can sit and wait just seems to be taking too long. And in our thoughts, we want to do something. We want to do something desperately bad. But the promises of God says, but those who wait on me, capital M-E, shall renew their strength. We shall be empowered. Nothing the enemy can do to keep us in a state of depression, in a state of unwillingness, unless you choose to be there. But it would behoove you to pull yourself up, put your head up, strong and tall, with the full armor of God on you, the helmet of salvation covering the mind, confirming that you are saved. You know without a shadow of a doubt. That means you know that you know that you know whose you are in Christ Jesus. The helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, hallelujah, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace, the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit living inside of us. This is putting on the full armor of God. We've got it when you are a believer in Christ Jesus. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. So we're going to now, as I hope you have grasped a sweetness of God's word through when you are in your waiting room experience concerning your thoughts, that the mind is stayed on him, supported by God, focused on him, placing your hope and your faith rooted and anchored in Christ, that he will give you the perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. Now let's look at our point, discipline. Now I like to put it this way. Discipline, display, doing, or in short, being. When we're in the waiting room experience, now that we've gathered what our attitude should be, because it has tendencies to take us in places we should not be. And with that being said, it triggers what our deeds may do. Our deeds should be doing. And I'm talking about believers in Christ Jesus. Now, for those of you who may not know Christ in the pardoning of their sin, of your sin, I encourage you today, this day, for this is the day that the Lord has made for you to come to know him in the pardoning of your sin. This is a very important decision for you to make concerning yourself now and eternally. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, these are the promises of God. So I would like for us to stop, drop, and pray right now, because I do not want to run into part two of this teaching series, when you're in the waiting room, without knowing that Mission from the Heart extends the gospel of Jesus Christ to you, that you will come to know him willingly, wholeheartedly, passionately, and intimately. This is how we are to come to the foot of Jesus with all humility and reverence, extending and surrendering ourselves to him. Now, don't get it twisted. Don't get it misconstrued. Don't play at this time. This is a time of seriousness, a time of prayer, a time that we want the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. We come to the foot of Jesus asking, what must I do to be saved? So let's go to the Lord in prayer. And we are going to pray these words, but it's your heart. Repeat after me, but it's your heart. Extend your hands as a show of reverence to God. Get on your knees and pray with me that you would wholeheartedly give it to Jesus. He's waiting for you. He loves you enough to know that he died on that old rugged cross for you and me. My brothers and my sisters in Christ, if you could partner with me that we touch and agree and lift up that spouse or lift up that friend, the coworker, the woman on the street walker, the drunkard under the bridge, whomever the Holy Spirit has placed on your heart, lift them up in prayer. It could be your parents, a cousin, a brother, sister, whomever. Lift them up in prayer that they would be revived if they're backslidden or carnal-minded, that they would be revived in their soul, that they would give the Lord a knee and a bow of their head of forgiveness and repentance in heaven. hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, let thy will be done in my heart on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, you've given me your daily bread, the very gospel, Jesus Christ himself, who hung on the cross for my sin. You gave us, me, the bread of life. Thank you, Lord. I come to you, Father, with a surrendered hand, surrendering my life to you. I have nothing, Lord. I come to you as lowly as I know how, asking you to enter in, to set up on my heart your throne of grace. Forgive me, Lord, for I have done some things I know that wasn't right. I've said some things that I should not, a person of unclean lips, Lord. Clean me up on the inside, that what you have deposited in me will show forth on the outside, in thought, word, and deed. Here I am, Lord. I believe by faith that you are my Redeemer, paid the price on the cross for me, Lord. Thank you. Your blood ran down the cross for me. Thank you, Lord. I receive your salvation by faith because of your amazing grace. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord, I need thee every hour. Amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You are now in the household of faith. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. The angels are rejoicing that you are now on this day a born again believer. Hallelujah. And I know that as we shout for joy and wave a hand offering of praise to the Lord, glory to God, that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, we encourage you to seek out a Bible teaching church, that you would be baptized by submersion of water. And when you get up, you will be proclaiming and letting everybody know that I am now a Christ follower. Hallelujah. That you would be on fire for the Lord. That you would seek out a small group Bible study or a Sunday school class. Continue to listen to Mission from the Heart Radio, that you may grow and go in grace. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, to grow and go in grace. Praise the Lord, my brother. Praise the Lord, my sister. And praise the Lord, my brothers and sisters in Christ, who have lifted up that individual that has been heavy on your heart, as we grow together in grace and build up the body of Christ and lift up the lost, that they would come to know him in the pardoning of their sins. So let's move into second point. Now, remember, our second point is discipline, display, doing, or to put it simply, deeds. Now, let's read the scripture that sums all of this up. And we're going to be reading in Galatians. So if you would take your Bible to Galatians chapter 5. And I'm going to read Galatians 5 in two different translations. I just think it shows the beauty of God's word in keeping our understanding simple so that we can relish in his word, in the experiencing of him while we're in a waiting room. So this is a familiar passage in scripture that most of us may be familiar with in Galatians 5, and we're going to start 10, and I'll read it as follows. You follow along in your translation. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the work of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We live in the Spirit. Let us also walk in the Spirit. Don't miss that, my brothers and sisters. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Walk meaning do what we know we should be doing in the Spirit. Verse 26, let come conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Amen. This is what we are to be disciplined to do. This is what we are to display, to be doing, our actions, our habits, to put it nicely, short and sweet, our deeds. Now, let me read it in the New Living Translation. Verse 16, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide, beautiful word, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Then you won't be doing there's that word, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. A craving of the flesh is what it's talking about here. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. And some of us crave sweets after we've had a salty dinner, maybe a good hamburger and French fries, and we sprinkle a little seasoned salt on it, and we eat till we can't eat anymore, and then somehow or another, the flesh or your desire is to have a little scoop of ice cream, or maybe just a little piece of cake. Whatever the palate of the tongue desires, it desires, it craves it, and you won't be satisfied until you satisfy it. Intensity of craving something. This is what we should not be doing. Verse 17, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. The opposite. So while we're in the waiting room, we have tendencies to do opposite of what we have been deposited, the Holy Spirit, which we do have, the, as we will read. But the flesh craves so intensely that it wants to do opposite, or it's contrary to what the Holy Spirit wants, raging war against each other, the flesh and the spirit, capital S-P-I-R-T. Verse 17, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, constantly. That reminds me of two siblings in the same household with two parents, with both having a mother and a father in the home, and those two siblings cannot get along. You put them in separate bedrooms, and somehow or another, they gravitate toward each other, whether it be in the living room, in the kitchen, or one has went into the other's bedroom, and there they are wrestling and fighting in that room. And you go in there to break them up every time, hollering at them or disciplining them or putting them in time out or taking away some of their privileges, whatever the case may be. But as I paint that picture of siblings, it gives the same implication. The flesh and the Spirit. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature does. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. I like that, but when you are directed, hallelujah, by the Spirit, praise the Lord, you are not under obligation of the law of Moses. Glory to God. Glory for what Jesus did on the cross. He is the fulfillment of the law. In Christ, our solid rock, we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Verse 19, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. This is just to name a few according to Scripture. In this translation, this doesn't cover them all. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are praying a prayer that has not yet happened. Our Father, which art in heaven, acknowledging him. And we are stating, hallowed be thy name, glorifying him. Thy kingdom come. Prayer that hasn't happened yet. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Eternal life, when the new heaven and the new earth will be made new. Hallelujah. Verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, that's God. Joy, that's God. Peace, that's God. Patience, that's God. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, that's God. And self-control, that's God. This is in us. Why? Because we are filled with the Holy Spirit. For those of you who have accepted Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior, you, the very fruit of the Spirit within you. That's why I said, don't get it twisted. Don't get it misconstrued. Because the enemy wants to come and sift you like wheat now that you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. This is not to scare you, but it is to let you know that the sufferings of Christ, we have to suffer too. And what does that do? It builds us up. It gives us the tenacity, the determination, and the perseverance to remember, we read in Scripture that we are victorious over the work of the enemy. He has no power on us. He's beneath us. He's under our feet. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and the desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Leave it there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Amen. This is a word to the saints. Since now we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit. Don't put the fire out by turning away from the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, anchoring ourselves in the Word of God. When we are in the waiting room, when you're waiting, we have nothing but time. 26. Let us not become conceited, boastful, prideful, bragging about ourselves, or provoke one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. We are not to do that with each other now that we are filled with the spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Remember, these are opposite of the flesh. We aren't to provoke one another as believers or children of light in a dark world where chaos and wickedness is on the front doorstep, on the back doorstep. It's all around us. The waiting room experience can be an outer experience of turmoil, chaos. Or be jealous of one another. When God takes us to a place where one brother or sister in Christ might be at a level that he has purposed us to be, we are not to be jealous of our brother or sister who has been taken there. Everybody has a place in the body of Christ. And we are to do what the Holy Spirit has prompted us, led us, guided us, taught us, comforted us, reassured us confidently to do while we are in our waiting room experience. What is that, you may ask? I'm glad you asked. It's for us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is for us to gently love the unlovable. It is for us to faithfully cry out to the Lord in prayer. It is faithfully to be good doers of the word of God while we are sojourning on this side of heaven called earth. We are walking through a barren land. This place called earth, we are to continue to walk worthy, live holy. We are to be patient with God, waiting for the return of the Messiah with anticipation and joy and peace. And we are to be gentle with one another. Gentle enough like a lamb. And self-control amongst the brothers and the sisters of Christ. We should not be backbiting, undermining, talking down, condescending language. We should not be envious, a spirit of jealousy. I've got more than you. I can do anything you can do better than you. That we should not. That type of acting, doing, deeds, habits is flesh. Lee, I pray that you have received a nugget from this particular part of when you're in the waiting room. When we are not running before God. And on next week, we will talk about some of those who ran before God in their actions, in their habits, in their doing. And we'll look at the consequences, the outcome of what transpired when they ran before God. They didn't wait. The waiting room experience was too much pressure for them. The time was too long for them. Remember, I said when the attitude or the mindset gets tempted and we fall into temptation in our thoughts, it triggers your deeds, triggers your words, your speech. And we'll look at that later in the series. But doing the will of the Lord, while the experience of the waiting room may not feel comfortable to the flesh, while you may be waiting on a particular decision concerning a job or looking for a job, while you're waiting for the diagnosis of a medical condition that you have put your trust and faith in Him, He will give you perfect peace while your mind is stayed on Him. Some people may talk about you because they want you to worry and fret, running over here doing this and running over there doing that. That is the world of chaos. But we who keep our minds stayed on Him will do what the Spirit of the Lord has purposed us to do. Why? Because He lives inside of us. We are to love when we don't want to love. We are to laugh and have joy when the flesh says cry and be still and poke your lip out. Peace in the midst of a storm. When the disciples were at sea, and Jesus said, peace, be still. Hallelujah. Only God can calm the waters of our waiting room experience. Only God can give us a peace that surpasses all of our human understanding. Only God can grant us His grace and His mercy brand new every day. Only God . So my brothers and my sisters, don't forget, and those of you who have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, don't forget that this is the day that the Lord has made for us, and we are to do what? Rejoice and be glad in it. I want, during Christ, surely, to lift up another prayer as we close just this part in the broadcast, when you're in the waiting room. Sister Shirley, if you could just pray us out.
Father God, we just thank You for the meal, Father God, that You have fed us, oh God. Father God, I ask You that we take heed to everything that was taught, Father God, on today, Father God, and search our hearts, especially minds, oh God. Father God, let everything that was said not be forgotten, but hidden in our hearts, Father God, that we will not forget what You have done for us, Father God, and that we will not give up hope, but we will trust in You in everything that we do and say, oh God. We thank You for Your Son who died on the cross for our sins, oh God. We thank You for those that receive You in their hearts, oh God, and that they will start a new life, oh God. Cover them with the blood of Jesus, oh God. Go ahead of them, Father God. Make their path straight. Whatever is crooked, make it straight, oh God. And bless the one that brought the word on today, Father God, teaching us what we need to know, Father God. Have Your way on today, Father God, this day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank You, my sister, my friend, for being so obedient and walking with me today in this teaching series. So always remember that the Lord's word, the grass wither and the flowers They fade. They fade. And sometimes we feel like we're fading. Sometimes we feel as though we just can't make it. Sometimes we may be even thinking that I cannot get through another day. My sister and I, Shirley, we empower you, encourage you to hold on to God's unchanging hand. We may be in times of uncertainties. We may be in a time where trouble seems to be on the left and the right of us. But God's promises will bring us through every valley low. Hold on to the 23rd Psalm and don't let go. The grass withers and the flowers fadeth away, but the word of God will remain forever. God bless you and enjoy the beauty and the wonders and the sweetness of God's word.